April already. Thank you, Lord. Please stand as we read the Lord's Word together. We're in Judges chapter 18 as we continue our going forward, read the Word of God as a fellowship, and it is a joy to do so. Judges 18. In those days there was no king of Israel, and in those days the tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance for themselves to live in. For until that day an inheritance had not been allotted to them as a possession among the tribes of Israel. So the sons of Dan sent from their family 5 men out of their whole number, valiant men from Zorah and Eshtol, to spy out the land and to search it. And they said to them, "Go, search the land." And they came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and lodged there. When they were near the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young man, the Levite, and they turned aside there and said to him, "Who brought you here? And what are you doing in this place? And what do you have here?" And he said to them, "Thus and so has Micah done to me, and he has hired me, and I have become his priest." And they said to him, "Inquire of God, please, we may know whether our way on which we are going will be prosperous." And the priest said to them, "Go in peace. Your way in which you are going has the Lord's approval." Then the 5 men departed and came to Laish and saw the people who were in it living in security after the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure, for there was no ruler humiliating them for anything in the land, and they were far from the Sidonians and had no dealings with anyone. When they came back to their brothers at Zorah and Eshtol, their brothers said to them, "What do you report?" And they said, "Arise, and let us go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And will you sit still? Do not delay to go, to enter, to possess the land. When you enter, you shall come to a secure people with a spacious land, for God has given it into your hand, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth." Then from the families of the Danites, from Zorah and from Eshtol, 600 men armed with weapons of war set out, and they went up at Kiriath-Jearim in Judah. Therefore they called that place Manannah-Dan to this day. Behold, it is west of Kiriath-Jearim. And they passed from there to the hill country of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. Then the 5 men who went in to spy out the country of Laish answered and said to their kinsmen, "Do you know that there are in these houses an ephod and household idols and a graven image and a molten image? Now therefore consider what you should do." And they turned aside there and came to the house of the young man, the Levite, to the house of Micah, and asked him of his welfare. And the 600 men armed with their weapons of war, who were of the sons of Dan, stood by the entrance of the gate. Now the 5 men who went to spy out the land went up and entered there and took the graven image and the ephod and household idols and the molten image, while the priest stood by the entrance of the gate with the 600 men armed with weapons of war. And when these went into Micah's house and took the graven image, the ephod and the households and the molten image, the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" And they said to him, "Be silent. Put your hand over your mouth and come with us, and be to us a father and a priest." Is it better for you to be a priest to the house of one man, or to be priest to the tribe and a family in Israel? And the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the household idols and the graven image, and went among the people. Then they turned and departed, and put the little ones and the livestock and the valuables in front of them. When they had gone some distance from the house of Micah, the men who were in the houses near Micah's house assembled and overtook the sons of Dan. And they cried to the sons of Dan, who turned around and said to Micah, "What is the matter with you that you have assembled together?" And he asked, and he said, "You have taken away my gods which I made, and the priests, and have gone away, and what do I have besides? So how can you say to me, 'What is the matter with you?'" And the sons of Dan said to him, "Do not let your voice be heard among us, lest men fall upon you and you lose your life and the lives of your household." So the sons of Dan went on their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. Then they took what Micah had made and the priests who had belonged to him and came to Laish, to a people quiet and secure, and struck them with the edge of the sword. And they burned the city with fire, and there was no one to deliver them, because it was far from Sidon, and they had no dealings with anyone. And it was in the valley which is near Beth Rahab. And they rebuilt the city and lived in it, and they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan, their father, who was born in Israel. However, the name of the city formerly was Laish. And the sons of Dan set up for themselves the graven image. And Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of the Danites until the day of the captivity of the land. So they set up for themselves Micah's graven image, which he had made all the time that the house of God Shiloh. Thus reads the word of God, and you may be seated. Judges 18:3-4. When they were near the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young man, the Levite, and they turned aside there and said to him, "Who brought you here, and what are you doing in this place, and what do you have here?" And he said to them, "Thus and so has Micah done to me, and he has hired me, and I have become his priest." We spent time dealing with the fact of what happens when we choose to live according to our own understanding, not being concerned about what God has put into place. With this context of everyone doing what seems to be right in their own eyes, we have this account of such selfishness and idolatry. It is the furtherance of the principle which we have been dealing and about which I pray that each one of us is having our time before the Lord. The intensity of this whole issue is so personally shaking me to the core. God's Word challenges us to set our hearts and our minds only on that which is honoring and reverent unto God. Seek to be fully in line with His will and His plan and His purpose for the lives that we live on this earth. Otherwise, if we choose to defy Him and seek our own way, we will become likened to this account of infidelity. We met this Levite in our last reading of Judges chapter 17, specifically verses 10 through 13 of that chapter. It was the account of how Micah connived to make his life better by getting a Levitical priest to become part of his household. Judges 17:10-13. Micah then said to him, "Dwell with me and be a father and a priest to me, and I will give you 10 pieces of silver a year, a suit of clothes, and your maintenance." So the Levite went in And the Levite agreed to live with him, and the young man became to him like one of his sons. So Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and lived in the house of Micah. Then Micah said, "Now I know that the Lord will prosper me, seeing I have a Levite as priest." There are two aspects to this arrangement which need to be addressed. The first is the heart of Micah. He felt that it would make his life more blessed with prosperity if he could have a Levite in his household. It didn't matter that he was committing a perversion of the commandment and the stipulations of the Lord God Jehovah. All that Micah was concerned about was how he would benefit financially from this arrangement. By bringing this priest into his house, he was certain that he would receive the outpouring of the financial prosperity that he was seeking. He was willing to pay to have this arrangement. This was not in order to bless the Lord or to be honoring to the priest, but because it would return higher dividends for the money that he was expending. This scheme would bring greater wealth into the pockets of Micah, so he was willing to spend the money to gain much more wealth. This was despite the fact that it would pervert the course of that Levite's life and call. All of this is indicative of the base nature of mankind, which will gather unto him those religious characters who will tell them what they want to hear at all costs. The second aspect is that the Levite was willing to go forward with this plan because he would receive those wages that would set him up for the rest of his days. He felt that this would make his life easier as he would have financial security. This meant that he would not suffer hunger or lack of provision anymore. This was despite the fact that it was a perversion of the commandment of the Lord unto whom this Levite was supposed to be consecrated. He was selling out his soul for the sake of safety in this earthly realm. He set aside his commitment and his dedication to the Lord God Jehovah and settled for the pittance that Micah was willing to pay for this vile scheme of spiritual desecration. This priest was selling his soul for the sake of gaining a comfortable portion of the wages of this age. He was casting aside the inheritance received of God through his birthright in order to partake of and be party to this demeaning and blasphemous activity that would ingratiate him into the house of Micah. Teavi, this is exactly what you asked about this morning. He was giving up that birthright for the sake of this money. Now, before we proceed any further, we need to be very careful and deliberate on a most important part. We are not promoting the concept that the congregation can shun the support of the shepherd provided by God to teach and to care for that portion of God's flock. We need to tread very delicately in this matter. This is not at all an essential doctrinal aspect forth as a complaint on my part or as a means of gaining some financial increase. This is not the case at all. Accordingly, We need to consider what is detailed by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the church at Galatia, Galatians 6:6-10. Galatians 6:6-10. And let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Those who are taught are to share and to do right by the Lord for the ones who serve the church community as a response to the call of God upon their lives. The ministry is a call. It is a worthy commitment to lay down one's life to be of service to the Lord and to His people. Inherent in this is the fact that it is not a job in the sense of someone going into the ministry to reap the harvest of financial gain and to make a comfortable living. That is what we have in this example of this Levite priest who sold his soul to Micah. He saw this simply as a job that would supply the needs of his life. Then, when given the opportunity in our chapter this morning, he upgraded his vile and profane position in forsaking Micah and becoming a priest to the tribe of Dan. There he had much greater opportunity for wealth and for power and prestige. True ministry, true service to the call of God necessitates that there is a complete and utter dependence upon God to meet the every need of each day, whether that is financial or emotional and especially spiritual. Every necessity is laid before the Lord for His provision. This is what is supplied through the means of the flock sharing the blessing of the Lord with those who are teaching and ministering to them. The pastor, the minister, the evangelist, and the missionary is counting on the Lord to supply the needs of the flock through the teaching and the preaching of God's Word, through the counseling that is required, through the service of prayer and help and encouragement. It is all seen as from God, and then through the growth in the spiritual development of the flock, returned unto in all praise and adoration. Consider what the apostle wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:17-19. This was concerning those who were called to meet the needs of the established churches. There was to be made provision for the sake of those who taught and preached the word for the benefit of the church. 1 Timothy 5:17-19. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the Scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. These wages, as so defined here, are the means whereby the ministry is able to continue to meet those needs of the one whom the Lord so embeds into the lives of one another. In this worthy devotion, all are built up as living stones into the true church. As well, the other manifest truth is that through true ministry, there is a faithful knitting together of all into a wondrous and growing and spiritually maturing family in Jesus Christ. We take care of each other with all the love of God flowing forth. The point of this lengthy aside is that we are not talking about how the church takes care of those who are called to shepherd and to oversee the growth and the development and the other necessities of God's people. But what we have in this morning's passage is the corruption of that accurate witness of God in both the teacher and the hearers. We are discussing those for whom true ministry means nothing at all. They are not preaching or teaching to meet the needs of the church in a response to the call of God. These workers, these so-called priests of our delineation, are those who are only doing what it takes to make money, no matter what it necessitates. This is even if it means turning their backs completely on the truth of God. These are those who use God and His name in the twisted perversion after the gain of earthly gold and silver and possessions. This difference is highlighted for us in Proverbs 28:20-22. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. To show partiality is not good, because for a piece of bread a man will transgress. A man with an evil eye hastens after wealth and does not know that want will come upon him. The slippery slope of seeking after prosperity over the true calling of God is seen in the race for the riches of this age. This is that seeking after the filthy lucre that will feed the cravings after the good life as it is so mislabeled by the liar of this. Man so easily sells his soul for the sake of the instant gratifications of the tawdry delights that become the focal point of his eye and his heart. This is rather than that holding onto the course of the instruction and the provision of the Lord in true service of death to self for the righteousness of Christ to blossom forth. The prophet Isaiah had to deal with this entire reality of those who would sell their souls for the sake of gaining the wealth of the nations rather than for caring for the needs as the service of the Lord requires. Consider what he relates in Isaiah 56:10-12 as the prophet sees how man will sell self for nothing of value today or ever. There is an endless cycle highlighted in the inability to do anything of worth or value. It is an absolutely unsatisfying and deepening spiral into the oblivion of decay and depression and desecration of that which should have been of service to those in need. Isaiah 56, 10 through 12. His watchmen are blind. All of them know nothing. All of them are dumb dogs, unable to bark, dreamers lying down who love to slumber. And the dogs are greedy. They are not satisfied. And they are shepherds who have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way, each one to his unjust gain, to the last one. Come, they say, let us get wine and let us drink heavily of strong drink, and tomorrow will be like today, only more so. Another prophet who decried this selling out of the service of the Lord for the sake of earthly pleasures was the prophet Ezekiel. There is such destruction decried by this prophet as in Ezekiel 13, verses 17 through 19. When despair and craving collide in the heart of men, disaster is sure to follow. Those who should be the protectors of the people, the providers of that which would meet the needs of the Lord's chosen, choose rather to sell them out for paltry earthly gain. This is without any sense of remorse or shame. Ezekiel 13, 17 through 19. Now you, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who are prophesying from their own inspiration. Prophesy against them and say, thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic bands on all wrists and make veils for the heads of persons of every stature to hunt lives. Will you hunt down the lives of my people, but preserve the lives of others for yourselves? And for handfuls of barley and fragments of bread, you have profaned me to my people to put to death some who should not die and to keep others alive who should not live by your lying to my people who listen to lies. This despicable desecration of the word of the Lord by those wicked and defiled shepherds is the result of a people who desired to be so vilely led. There is reciprocity between what the people crave and what the people will demand from their teachers. The depth of this depravity's behavior is further detailed by the prophet Hosea in Hosea 4, 8 through 13. The Lord, through Hosea, decries this entire selling of all that should be good and right into licentious whoredom and idolatry under the vicious and the depraved demons of this age. It will come back in utter devastation to all. This will be upon those who are so willing to defile and defame the name of the Lord and that service which should be holy and righteous altogether. Hosea 4, 8 through 13. They feed on the sin of my people and direct their desire toward their iniquity. And it will be like people, like priest. So I will punish them for their ways and repay them their deeds. and they will eat but not have enough. They will play the harlot but not increase, because they have stopped giving heed to the Lord. Harlotry, wine, and new wine take away the understanding. My people consult their wooden idol, and their diviner's wand informs them. For a spirit of harlotry has led them astray, and they have played the harlot, departing from their God. They offer sacrifices on the tops of the mountains and burn incense on the hills under oak, poplar, and terebinth, because their shade is pleasant. Therefore, your daughters play the harlot, and your brides commit adultery. They feed on the sin of my people and direct their desire toward their iniquity. And it will be like people, like priest. So I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. The people, both teachers and followers, will find that there is no satisfaction in the course of their destitute and despicable lusting after the wealth and fortunes of this age. All that they will receive is the reality that they will never have any true satisfaction in this realm. They will crave endlessly after that which will never satisfy. They will always hunger and thirst and find themselves utterly worn out by their every exertion to get more and more and more without ever getting anything at all. Furthermore, they are surrounded with the horror of that which they practice. Adultery and whoredom and idolatry, which makes a complete mockery of their every effort to gain even a footstep of relief from the taunts and the ridicule and the anguish of their actions. It will be replayed by their very depraved children and faithless spouses. There will be nothing of value for them as they sell their souls for that which only mocks them and causes them even greater anguish. We close with the call of the Lord through the prophet Malachi in Malachi 1, 6 through 11, to those whom the Lord had chosen unto himself. The faithlessness of the whole of the nation of God put before them in the complete explanation as to how they had sold themselves back into the slavery from which God had so miraculously delivered them. Malachi 1, 6 through 11. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised thy name? You are presenting defiled food upon my altar. But you say, how have we defiled thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is to be despised. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Not offer it to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? But now, will you not entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us? With such an offering on your part, will he receive any of you kindly, says the Lord of hosts. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates that you might uselessly kindle fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. There is no honor for Jehovah in the service that these defiled priests presented at his altar. And look especially at what the people were putting forth as their sacrifices. The lame, the blind, the sick, the worthless of the flock and of the herd. There was no real regard for the holiness and the righteousness and the sanctity in what was presented unto the most holy Lord God Almighty, Jehovah, Yahweh. Everything was done with the view as to how they could enrich themselves while performing the most basic of duties. They were doing what was part of their job description rather than what was their heart's delight and their focus. The full consideration as to the holiness of unto whom they serve was gone. There was only the obligation upon them that their office required. They were looking out for their own places in the hierarchy of the social strata of the without a view as to what was their real call before God. They forsook their complete service as his representatives before the people. They spoke with their own voices, seeking only to multiply the earnings that they could bank. This was rather than the voice of the Lord, which would meet the necessities of those who were so in need of true teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. We will continue forward with this consideration next week, Lord willing. We will see that what the New Testament writers have to say about the selling of the soul for the sake of the gain of the riches of this age. So be it. And he said to them, thus and so has Micah done to me, and he has hired me, and I have become his priest. Not the Lord's priest. I have become his priest. Amen.